This week on 880 In Depth, a career well done in radio news.
We do hear that there is no power throughout many of the major cities in New York State.
The voice of longtime WCBS News Radio 880 anchor Pat Farnak, our guest in this week's in-depth podcast. Hey, Pat.
Thank you so much for having me. This is very touching.
I'm Tim Scheld, and
I'm Pat Farnak.
We're in reverse roles. I'm sitting here in the anchor position,
and you're
in the guest position.
It feels weird.
I'm not really supposed to be talking. I'm the behind-the-scenes guy, generally. But I'm very happy to have you with me this week, because after more than four decades, what'd you tell me,
47 years.
How'd you do that? Did you start when you were a teenager? Young teenager.
I was 19.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. After more than four decades spent in the daily grind of this business we call news, our voice of calm and confidence and a whole lot of heart, Pat is stepping away from the WCBS microphone this week, retiring from her news anchor job. An amazing, amazing career. Only the last 19 of it spent here, 18
right.
and a half
mm-hmm.
spent here. Where did it begin? Where did it...
When I was in college, I worked at
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, WBRX in Berwick, Pennsylvania, home now to a nuclear power plant, but there wasn't one at that time.
You got glowing reviews of your work there, by the way.
And I happened to be at the station when a jock said, "I don't care if you're letting me go," to his boss, "I am going to this funeral." And they said, "Don't walk out or you're going to lose your job. You'll be fired." And the only one there was moi. So they threw me on the air. I was terrible, but I was hooked.
And what was it about that and that day that gave you a sense of this is what you wanted to do?
It encompassed everything that is me. Talking, writing, when I got into news, only news and not playing records, as well as ripping and reading. And I just loved it. And the danger of being live and that anything could happen. I was hooked.
And anything does happen.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a lot of things in the next few minutes, so I appreciate your wisdom, and thanks for sitting down with me. Why don't we begin here talking about anything can happen. Let's listen back to that cut again, Bill.
We do hear that there is no power throughout many of the major cities in New York State, in Toronto, in Ottawa, Detroit, Cleveland, and Hartford. Also, no buses, trains, or subways running in Manhattan at the moment.
And we're told that the airports are affected.
2003, you remember
wow.
that? The voice of Tony Guida and Pat Farnak.
Thank goodness for Tony Guida. We had nothing. We had no computers. We had very little resources except for people calling in on the phone.
Middle of the afternoon, too,
yeah.
right? Wasn't it?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes. But like I said, thank God for Tony Guida, because he is Gabby, and I guess I am too. So we're able to tell stories and just keep it going throughout the day.
Right.
I think we were on for 7 hours.
How do you do that, though? What resource, what reserve, what are you talking about? I mean, I know, but I just think I'd love for you to share that.
I think that the most important thing is you can't be all wrapped up in sounding like you want to sound perfectly on the air, not making any errors, not knowing where you're going when you're speaking. And you have to just sort of let go of all of that, I think, is the moral of the story. And just put yourself in the shoes of the people who are listening. They need our help. They need our information.
You're always so nice to be, well, first of all, I should explain that your shift in the middle of the day, midday news anchor, may be the most challenging for a couple of reasons. You're by yourself, you're solo in terms of in the studio, and most of the news that happens in our world happens in the middle of the day. That's challenging.
I love that. I love that. And it goes by in a flash. I was anchoring for a while from 10 till 3, and now I'm anchoring from 10 till 1, and it keeps you hopping. It feels like 20 minutes, and I'm not kidding, every day.
Now, there are some days we remember more than others. I'm going to ask you if you have specific memories. Is there any one story that stands out to you?
I have to say Sandy Hook. I mean, that was the most unbelievable story, one of them, of my entire career. I couldn't believe when I heard We were getting reports from Franche-Nido and from Connecticut that children were among the dead. And I couldn't come to grips with it in my head, but I had to make sure. And I'll never forget that day.
Breaking news on WCBS 80.
Police have swarmed Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut after a school shooting today. WCBS Connecticut Bureau Chief Fran Schneido joins us live now with the latest. Fran?
State Police Lieutenant Paul.
How do you keep calm in a scenario like that when everybody in the newsroom is dumbstruck by the tragic news? We knew a little bit more than we could say on the air. Mm-hmm. We needed confirmation, but that probably is one of the most difficult things that a news anchor has to do.
It certainly is. I don't know. I've been able to do that throughout my career. I sort of do this physical thing where I pass my hand in front of my face, and it's something that allows me to click off of my emotions a little bit and just get on to the matter at hand.
And what's it like to turn the mic off at the end of the day and have to deal with that?
It's a letdown and a joy. And by that I mean you're so geared up, you're so on. And that's something about this business that I sort of don't like. I love most of this business, but it's so relentless. And I feel like you can't let your guard down for a minute. And sometimes, though, when I walk away, even after a long, exhausting day, I want to go back. So
Ken, we were having this conversation a couple of days ago about the trauma of the job and hearing all of the difficult stories that you, the breaking news, Sandy Hook in particular. How do you shake that off? Or do you?
I don't think you do. I think it builds up on you. And that's why, even though I'm going to miss doing this every day, coming into WCBS every day, I think the bittersweet part of it is more sweet than it's bitter.
And I should point out that you will continue to have a place on the radio station. You've done for a number of years your health and well-being reports.
I love
you've
that.
Done some great reporting on it, really useful. Great information for us, and you'll continue to do that. You're just not going to come in here every day and do it, which is, you win.
It'll be nice to stay engaged.
Totally, and I think our listening audience will very much appreciate that. There are also moments of joy that you get to share from the news studio. Here's one.
The historic parade for the number one in the world U.S. women's soccer team.
Pat, we'll throw it back to you.
All right, let's go to Sean Adams and pick it up from there. Can you hear me, Sean?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go ahead.
Can you hear the USA chant? Here it is.
All right.
USA. USA.
What's it like to bring live moments like that to the audience?
I love that. And I remember doing parades and so forth early in my career. I have to say, though, I like being in the anchor, on the anchor desk, more than I like being out in the crowd. I guess you might find this hard to believe, but I really am a shy personality. With people I know, I'm not, but I'm more reserved than a lot of people would think.
You heard the voice of Sean Adams there a little bit ago. You heard Franche-Nido. You've gotten to work with some really, really talented people over the years at a lot of radio stations, no?
And yes, TV. I have. Yes,
and TV.
I have.
Who were the folks that touched your career along the way?
We were talking before we started talking on mic with Gil Gross. Mm-hmm. I was he was my partner in Philly at WWDB. And he was a hoot. I also worked with Larry Kane, remember
sure.
him,
mm-hmm.
in TV, and so many people at Channel 3 in Philadelphia. And I was also an anchor on TV for Channel 48, WKBS, which was so much fun. Have you ever seen the movie UHF with Weird Al Yankovic?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you have to see it. It was Channel 48. Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. They would roll out the boxing ring after we did the news. So they'd take the news set out, and then they'd move out the boxing ring, or sometimes wrestling ring, after we were through with the news at Channel 48. So it was quite an experience.
You mentioned Gil Gross, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I had a communication with him this week, and Gil mentioned to me that the two of you as co-anchors,
yes,
won a couple of awards, best,
yes,
newscast and best anchor team kind of thing. And he, mm-hmm, said to me, hands down, that you, Pat Farnak, were the best co-anchor that he'd ever worked with. And that's a guy that's worked
that's so
with some
sweet,
pretty significant co-anchors, including at this radio station.
I loved him.
Good man.
Yes, very much so. I also did a stint at WNBC,
yes,
during its heyday with Don Imus, Howard Stern, Soupy Sales, and the whole lot of them.
WNBC.
And you know what? That taught me not to be embarrassed and to really be myself on the air, because anything can happen. And again, the danger of broadcasting live.
Howard Stern can do that for you.
Yes, he can.
And I didn't realize this, but we learned this week that you also did a stint there in the traffic helicopter.
Oh, yes, I did. And this was in the N-copter, as they called it in those days. And it was just for a very brief period of time, I would say 6 to 8 months, something like that, and before they hired someone full-time. I was afraid. We had a landing in a ball field that just really got me nervous. And then the late Jane Dornacker took over that spot, and of course with fatal consequences.
Right. She died in the crash
of the
helicopter on the west side of Manhattan in October of 1986. So a dangerous job. You
I
don't
can't
know
even
it.
Believe that it happened
that,
to this day. I
that,
mean,
yeah.
I can't even and how, what if I had decided that I'm going to give this a go because the money was so good, and sometimes that can be like the devil on your shoulder.
Well, you know that I had a early stint in my career at Shadow Traffic, so I worked with, yeah, Donna Fiducia, who also worked mm-hmm, in the N-copter for a while, worked here, and Tom Kaminsky and I are lifelong friends, and Neil Bush and I are, you know, yeah, friends, and so I know and respect what kind of a job that is to do that, so mm-hmm, that's an amazing thing to do. You also, during the course of your career, any of us, you're in the anchor booth, but you are a reporter, and frankly, you're a good reporter. And
oh,
here's an example of something that you and I conspired to cover a couple of years back when the Amtrak a crash happened. Mm-hmm. It was one evening in, I can't even remember the date now, I probably have it written down there, Bill, was it 2015? Yeah, here.
Joining us live from the scene, WCBS reporter Pat Farnak.
The train flew off the track in a very industrial part of Philadelphia, the Port Richmond section. What we were able to see was one really badly mangled train car, which was, it almost looked like it was welded into this huge metal ball. And
boy, I remember that night, early morning.
What's it like to have to get out and know nothing and run into a scene and then all of a sudden dial up the phone and have to?
It was very disconcerting, and it was the middle of the night, and they weren't allowing any reporters to get too close. And by the time I got there, there weren't any reporters around, so it was just sort of like me, and it felt like the end of the world just looking at that wreckage and knowing the people had died in it. And I have taken Amtrak for all 20 years that I've been working at WCBS. I've taken Amtrak every day. And that was very disconcerting, very scary.
There are always moments on the radio station when you're in the anchor booth and someone presses the intercom. You don't hear that on the air, but a producer presses the intercom and says, Pat, here's a story we need to get on the air. And it's quite stunning. Here's one during your career.
Just came in a few minutes ago. The governor's office has announced that there will be a statement made about Elliot Spitzer resigning coming up at 11:30 this morning. So stay tuned to WCBS.
What do you do when they say, hey, out of nowhere, the governor of New York is resigning. And I think in the next graph, this is from the New York Times, by the way, so you recognize that it that it does have some credibility, that it had to do with a prostitution scandal. You're like, whoa.
Holy cow.
How do you handle a story like that? You just put your head down and do it?
Well, you have to be careful. I'm always afraid that I'm getting the wrong information and that I will be forever vilified for going on the air with something that's way off base. So there's a little bit of fear. But again, that's what makes our job, I think, so exciting and fun.
What moments do you remember being in the anchor booth at WCBS and stories? You said Sandy Hook. We heard another, cue that up, but we heard another piece of sound during the course of our week about Jim McGreevy announcing. Mm. Remember that?
That was shocking. Wow.
That was something that came out of nowhere. And, some rumblings about him, not even on the air over the years, that he, may have been gay or what have you. And then there were some issues related to his marriage that were whispers in certain places. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes this revelation on the air. And you're there in the anchor booth and your jaw drops open. And then you got to go on the air and sort of capsulize it, no?
Well, I think for me, you think, oh, this is another political news conference, ho-hum, yawn. But in this case, and I thought that up to the very minute when he approached the microphone, I thought, this isn't going to be anything. Maybe I can order something online. No, I didn't think that. But my jaw dropped.
Funny stories have you had? You've been thinking about this date for a while, and you've gotten to think about it. Any moments stand out as a crazy moment?
Well, I would have to say that working with Tony Guida was quite something, and he kept us laughing during what could have been a very frightening and downbeat time with the with the blackout.
TV versus radio. You did a little bit of TV down in Philadelphia. You also did it. Did you do your television beauty feature? What was it? How do I look? Or do I look?
Do I look okay?
Do I look
no,
okay?
No, that was only radio.
That was radio.
Yeah, yeah. I like TV a lot, but I love radio. I guess that's the difference. It's really up to you. What you're going to put out over the airwaves, and it just feels so much more intimate to me.
Philly versus New York. I know that's your home,
yeah.
But New York is sort of your adopted home, no?
I love New York. It's so exciting, and I'm going to miss all the energy, but I sort of grew up at KYW, and I was, I guess you could call me the ambassador for the station. I would do two or three nights a week where I would be out among people. And that's really when radio was something. And for Philadelphia, KYW was a huge deal. And I can remember, I think it was the ringing of the Liberty Bell. That's right. The ringing of the Liberty Bell to end the Gulf War. Wow, am I going back in time? But we had a big hoo-ha ceremony at the Liberty Bell, and that was such a highlight. All the generals were there from the war. And
if I'm not mistaken, isn't there a photograph of that hanging in the newsroom in KYW of you at the podium?
There might be. As a matter of fact, Alex Silverman, who was here as your right-hand guy, he is now the head honcho at KYW, and he said to me, he sent me an email a few months ago, and he said, I see your face every day you're on the wall here at KYW, so I have to go down there and check it out.
And so as we close out, give you a chance to talk about Insight, would you do it again? Would you do it the same way again?
I have very few regrets. I have very few regrets. I would say that I probably would try to push myself to take more chances. But at the same time, I wouldn't have the warmth and comfortable and exciting also career that I have had if I hadn't had jumped ship more often.
Wisdom for young people that are thinking about a career in either journalism or or news?
Sometimes, in spite of myself, I think I urge people. I do a conference every summer at Bloomsburg University in central Pennsylvania. And from year to year, I've done it for about 15 years now. And from year to year, I differ on whether I think I should urge people to go into broadcasting or not. Some years I'm higher on the on how great the industry is. Some years I'm not. But I would say overall, it is a great business if you have a thick skin and you can sort of go with the flow a little bit. So that would be my advice.
Have you, and just, you know, I'm going to give you the final word, but I should, you know, make it clear that we are better for having spent time with you. We're a better radio station. We're better people. Truth be told, we're friends. We'll remain friends. This is kind of a fraternity at this radio station,
yes.
A dysfunctional family at
yes.
times. But we have our issues. Bill Tynan, who is you know, who does all of our imaging and creative services and helps on the technical side with the podcast, is shaking his head yes. nonetheless, the group of WCBS folks and the people who have worked in this at this radio station stay together. They actually have twice annual. They call them board meetings, and they that you're aware of, and so they stay together, and it's great to see, you know, young people join the group of folks that keep the legacy of the radio station alive. But you don't recognize that you have an impact on the lives of the folks that are out there listening. Now, you're not just a disembodied voice in the news studio. So you could be shy, but you're talking to a lot of people, and we appreciate, you know, what you've done for us.
Well, thank you for doing this podcast with me. It was really an honor to work here and to be friends with everybody as well.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. Oh, I can't believe it's time. It's time for me, Pat Farnak, to say goodbye. I'm retiring, so this will be my last show here at WCBS. I've been in broadcasting, radio and TV for 47 years, the last 20 or so here at WCBS. It's been challenging, relentless, exciting, and never, ever boring. It's also been a blessing and mostly a lot of fun. I'd like to thank you so much for listening. I'm Pat Farnak. Take care. It's 12:58. Time now for Jim Feldman.
And again, we are all going to miss you here at WCBS,
thanks.
So best of luck. We've got problems in Westchester County now, both directions of the Sawmill Parkway, completely shut down between exit 37 and 39 with some ongoing emergency activity. You've got delays still on the southbound side of the Henry Hudson through the Bronx as you're getting down towards Broadway. Ongoing work on a tree that fell down this morning, so you still have up to two lanes blocked. Southbound side of the Deegan also very slow as you're getting through the 230s. You do have some emergency construction there, and up to two lanes are blocked as well. And now the forecast from the WCBS Weather Center.
Breezy and quite chilly this afternoon. Periods of rain and drizzle in the city and nearby suburbs. Still some freezing rain north and west of the city, at least through mid-afternoon. High 36, becoming windy and cold tonight with clearing. Watch your icy spots, especially outside of the city. Low 30 in Midtown, mid-20s across the Hudson Valley.
It is 33 degrees, light rain falling, some fog and mist hanging in there in
Central
Park.
Getting a little misty
Park.
In here, Pat.
I am.
A little misty.
I am. Going to miss you guys.
Good luck.
I'm Pat Farnak. Take care.
This is WCBS, WCBS HD, and WCBS FM HD2 New York.